So, Keith, tell us about the free school.
Yeah, well, the Food Not Bombs Free School is located in northern New Mexico in Taos. And we started several years ago with a group of people actually from Fort Lauderdale. They had helped come up with the idea of Food Not Bombs Fort Lauderdale. And our idea is somewhat like the Highlander School. People remember that's where Rosa Parks studied nonviolent civil disobedience. And that there's several schools like that in the United States. Our case, it's kind of an updated, more modern concept where young activists from all over the world come, and we do many things, including activism skills. But we also teach permaculture and organic gardening, composting, those types of things. And we do natural building. Like in our case, mostly adobe brick building and stonework, and we do other crafts type classes. And the name Free School, with S-K-O-O-L, comes from the idea of rather than having professors and teachers that are experts that then teach students everything. In this particular case, the school is, first of all, as it says, free. And second of all, school stands really for the idea that you might come to the school with a lot of your own personal skills that you can share with everybody, and that you also would be learning from the other students. So that there really isn't a hierarchy of professors and teachers above students, that we're all in this together. And I must say, as a person that's been doing this for several years, I have learned so much. But we do bring in outside support. And for instance, we will be doing on September 11th this year a Orno building workshop, where a young man from the Taos Pueblo comes and shows us how to make an adobe oven. And then we have another person that comes in and shows us the traditional way of baking in these ovens. And so before that, we're now teaching how to make adobe bricks and how to make the molds for adobe bricks and so on. And so we have a kind of a confluence of both people that have a lot of experience in a certain area and those that don't have so much, all working collaboratively on these projects. And this summer, the big thing that we've accomplished at the Free School is we built this roof over our outdoor kitchen, which has transformed the whole space so that it's much more luxurious. We're working on a tile and mirror mosaic in what will become the shower room and this pump house that we're working on. We have all kinds of solar power and wind power experiments that we're working with. And we have a person by the name of Kyle Butler, who is really knowledgeable and self-taught in all these areas. And oftentimes we'll just go to YouTube and like check it out, and then we try to figure it out ourselves. And then the other big project is we have just started a small micro radio broadcasting station called Taos Hum, and it's KTHC 87.9 FM, and it's also taoshumradio.com can be listened to there. And this way, people visiting the school can perform, and we can broadcast their their workshops, and they can have like their own alternative music playing, or we'll have information about world events and so on. So all of that is part of the Food Not Bombs Free School, and it's free. We do ask like a $25 contribution per week for the things like the the basic materials of running the school, the propane for the stoves, and we rent a toilet for because we have extra people there, and that kind of thing. But there's it's been very, very inspiring, and we've had people from as far away as Reunion Island in the Indian Ocean, people from Germany, New Zealand, Food Not Bombs volunteers from Israel, all over the United States and Canada have all come there to participate in the Food Not Bombs Free School. And you can find out more at FNB-Free School, and that's FreeSkool.org. And we are already gearing up for next summer, like these classes this year end in early October because it starts to freeze in Taos, New Mexico in October. But then again in May, we'll be up and running, and we'll have like another whole full slate of workshops. And we do bike repair workshops usually at the beginning of the year. And we do all kinds of, we've built a greenhouse, so there'll be like workshops with that. And if you're able to come this fall, we'll be having harvesting workshops and canning and preserving of the food that we've been growing all summer long.
Sounds great. Are there places nearby where people can stay, or can they camp out, or what's the accommodation situation?
Yeah, so what people do is when they come to the free school, most people actually bring their own tent to sleep in a tent. And the, actually, if you look at the website, you can see how beautiful the environment is. It's just a 360-degree view of total breathtaking beauty. So people live, stay in their own tents, or we have a teepee that a number of people can stay in. We also have an orno that people have been staying in. We made this huge orno that's large enough, an adobe oven, that it actually sleeps several people comfortably. So that's been another option. Some people actually will sleep in their own vehicle, bring in like a small RV or something. And then if you don't want to be doing that, there's other really great accommodations. There's a place called the Snow Mansion, which is a youth hostel that also provides workshops and classes similar to what we're talking about. And so we often collaborate with them. And there, the woman, Muna, who runs that, is like a wealth of knowledge in organic gardening, but also particularly in herbs and the drying and use of municipal herbs. So we, you know, we will collaborate with local farms and other programs in town. And some of the people will stay at those locations. We also have a lot of collaboration with the Earthship community, and as we're very famous in Taos for having the Earthship Academy, and quite a number of our students will be people who have first taken the Earthship Academy and then stay with us and start teaching workshops and taking workshops with us at the free school. So there's quite a large array of ways of, you know, quite a variety of ways of staying there. But most people actually just camp in a tent on the land, and that way they build camaraderie and even deeper connections to the other people that are participating in the free school.
Well, you may see me out there.
Yeah. Our idea is to get people from the world to go back out into the world, go back to Sarasota, start sharing these ideas and to strengthen the all the different variety of programs that local Food Not Bombs would naturally be involved in anyway, like Bikes Not Bombs or Food Not Lawns Gardening or you know, those kind of things, and just so that they can just get a lot more out of their local activism in their community. That's the point of the free school.
Great. Well, I know you're spending a lot of time in Santa Cruz now. When I called you about an hour ago, I hadn't talked to you in, I think, 3 years. And I guess you've been back and forth, and quite a bit is going on in Santa Cruz. You had mentioned a piece that appeared in the Guardian newspaper about a week or so ago. Could you talk about what's happening in Santa Cruz?
Yeah, well, Santa Cruz is becoming one of the most expensive housing markets in the United States, and the vacancy rates are just you know, that almost non-existent, and developers have really taken over the city government and the city, and they are pushing really an anti-homeless, anti-working class campaign again in this community. And they've made a large number of laws that have really adversely affected working people here. And so directly with Food Not Bombs, we've been providing free meals, vegan meals, outside the downtown post office for several years. And actually, Food Not Bombs itself in Santa Cruz has been at different locations for since 1992, providing meals here. And there's been an ongoing struggle since the big earthquake in 89, when developers took advantage of the catastrophe and started redeveloping much of the city. And that really transformed it from being a nice working class, liberal, seaside village to being this kind of, corporate, developer-controlled community that it currently is. And a lot of it happened to be that we're relatively close to, where the dot-com industry is with Apple and eBay and Google and Facebook and all of them. So a lot of money's coming to town, and the cost of housing has skyrocketed. And instead of addressing that issue with low-income housing and other programs, they've done a couple of things in the past few years, one of which was they actually cut the services dramatically at the homeless shelter. And that has been a huge crisis because now many, many people are wandering the street without access to the resources they once had that the homeless service center was providing. And they've essentially evicted all but about 50 people from that facility. And at the same time, they made strengthen a law against sleeping outside. You're not allowed to sleep outside at night. They made new laws restricting the sleeping in your vehicle, parking of recreational vehicles. And they've made stay-away orders so that actually park rangers or other city employees who are not really law enforcement can just say you're banned from a park or from a beach for weeks and months at a time, and then you could potentially get a trespassing ticket. And we started organizing a campaign to stop these laws called the Freedom Sleepers. And this was a coalition of homeless advocate groups, including Food Not Bombs. And we did this a year ago with our first camp out on July 4th in front of City Hall. And so every Tuesday, which is second and fourth Tuesday, the city council meeting, we will camp out. We camp out every Tuesday just to make it simple. But we're there when city council comes, and there can be up to as many as 60 homeless people camping outside of City Hall the nights of the city council meetings. And Food Not Bombs provides free meals and solidarity also with a number of other groups, including, of course, we're a coalition member of the Freedom Sleepers. And my partner, Abby Samuels, who lives here and works at the University of California, she and I are often sleeping out on Tuesday nights with everybody else. And it's been a very, very inspiring campaign. And it's inspired also a legal challenge to these laws, and we are currently in the process of working on a lawsuit, which we hope will go through, which will take the city to court for violating people's constitutional rights, particularly the constitutional right of cruel and unusual punishment. And the U.S. Justice Department had recently, in a case in Idaho, said that if you do not provide housing, and housing is not possible for people living in your community, then you cannot criminalize them for living on the streets, and that would be a violation of the Eighth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. So we've been working with that, and we're getting this increased number of people eating at our bombs meals, which happen every Saturday and Sunday at the downtown post office. And we are regularly having over 150 people show up to eat with us, which is quite a large number of people compared to just a couple of years ago.
That's a shame. It's thankfully you're there and you're available and you're helping out so many people, but it's a shame that it has reached that point in Santa Cruz. You know, I remember being in Santa Cruz back when I first took my first trip across country, driving down the coast. And as a matter of fact, I slept in my my Saab. I had right on the beach, right on the overlooking the ocean.
It's a shame now that people can't do that. It's just too bad.
Yeah.
I mean, people do, but it's illegal.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't expect so many years later, but it is a shame that the developers have taken Santa Cruz over, just like so many other beautiful seaside communities around the country. Tell me how Food Not Bombs around the world is doing. I know that you're in many countries around the world.
Yeah, well, we actually, we recently updated our website, foodnotbombs.net, and in doing a lot, it took us about a year and a half or two, and we did a lot of research, and we've now realized that there is over 1,000 Food Not Bombs chapters in the world in at least 60 countries. And in most recently, that we've gotten a lot of media, particularly in the BBC and Vice and others, about the Myanmar Food Not Bombs chapters. There's two groups there, and because of the election, there became a lot of interest in what was going on in the first election in decades in the former Burma, it's just incredible the kinds of things that they've been doing. And one of the things that was so impressive is they sent us photos of themselves feeding the Burmese army, and there were all these soldiers in full uniform with helmets, all like sitting in rows, and Food Not Bombs is bringing them vegan meals to because they too are so poor as soldiers that they require food from groups like Food Not Bombs. That was really beautiful. And then in Manila, we also got photos sent to us from a group outside of Manila that had organized the sharing of vegan meals inside of a local jail. And they actually got the people running the jail to agree to let them hold a punk concert on Christmas as well as provide free meals to everybody inside the jail. And so it's pretty astounding what some of the Food Not Bombs chapters are achieving. And I had the good fortune of visiting Indonesia and the Philippines a couple of years ago. And that's when I discovered that there was like over 30 groups in the Philippines. One of them in Davos, which is the city where the current president of the Philippines was mayor, they just celebrated their 15th anniversary. And they have done amazing stuff in southern Philippines to sort of create like an alternative culture in their town of Davos.
Wow.
And we also provided food there at the last cyclone in Cebu. And the Cebu Food Not Bombs chapter is, they do like so many different things. They are like, it's just incredible to see what they're doing. And in the last few years, too, we've seen Food Not Bombs flourish, particularly in France. It is one of the fastest growing areas where Food Not Bombs is providing free meals and support for all kinds of organizing efforts. So it's amazing all the stuff that Food Not Bombs is doing. And then most recently in November, my partner Abby and I went down to South America, and we met with a group of activists in Lima who then started a Food Not Bombs while we're there, and that Food Not Bombs chapter is really flourishing. So we're in New Zealand and all over Australia, all over Europe. It's still active in Africa and the Middle East, and many in Canada, and of course in the United States we have chapters in maybe 400 cities right now. Most recently in the Big Island in Hawaii, just started a Food Not Bombs there.
Well, Keith, I know there's a world gathering that Food Not Bombs is sponsoring. Is that correct? Coming up in October.
Yeah, Food Not Bombs, periodically we'll have a Food Not Bombs World Gathering where we try to bring people together and discuss like the overall direction and share skills of Food Not Bombs volunteers. And we happened to, I was down in Tijuana and happened to visit the Food Not Bombs group there, and they were having a benefit concert. And Food Not Bombs activists from all around the country were there, just kind of accidentally or, serendipitously. And so before the concert started, we had a little meeting, and we decided that we would organize a Food Not Bombs World Gathering in Tijuana from October 7th through the 11th. And what is the infrastructure in Tijuana Funabons, they actually have a little vegan cafe and info shop called A Cafe. They're connected to a little hotel and performance center that's directly across the street from them, and they have really strong ties with several important organic farms in the area. So it looks like it's going to be a really amazing gathering, and the fact that it's just across the border from the, it's actually literally the first thing you come across when you walk across the border from the United States into Mexico at Tijuana Crossing. One of the very first buildings you come to is the A Cafe and Food Not Bombs. And this makes it possible for people from all over to travel there. So if you're not able to get a visa to enter the United States, you don't have to worry. It's not as hard to enter Mexico. And even though it's a far west, northwest corner of Mexico, we think it provides the most access to the most Food Not Bombs volunteers possible. And people can, there's a train service to there, there's a bus service, and of course people that want to fly can fly into San Diego and or to LAX for that matter and take the train down. So it's we're trying to organize caravans, and if you go to foodnotbombs.net for the gathering link, you can sign up for rideshare. You can also sign up, provide your ideas of your workshops or other kinds of things that you want to either participate in or to help facilitate. And we've had some pretty amazing Food Not Bombs gatherings over the years, the first one being in 1992 in San Francisco, where the three principles of Food Not Bombs was agreed to, that the food's always vegan or vegetarian and free to anyone without restriction, rich or poor, drunk or sober. And the second one, that we have no leaders or presidents or headquarters, that each group's autonomous and makes decisions using the consensus process. And that the third one is that we're not a charity, but that we're dedicated to nonviolent direct action to change society so no one has to live on the streets or eat at soup kitchens. And so, we came to consensus on those principles again in 1995 when we had nearly 1,000 people participate in San Francisco. But I don't know if it'll be that big this year, but it certainly will be very interesting and cross-cultural, and I'm really excited that that it's coming, so soon. So I hope people that are listening to this program can sign up or just visit the foodnotbombs.net and get information on the gathering and show up.
I'll let my friends in California know. It'll be a little easier for them. I plan on being out there later in the year already, so I don't think I'll make it, but it sounds like it'll be well worth the effort to get there.
Yeah, I really hope you can make it.
Well, thank you so much, Keith. It was great talking to you again after several years, so I'm glad I gave you a call today.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. It's so cool, and I hope that the new college invites me back out soon and I can come and visit you and speak at New College.
All right. Well, we will keep that in mind. Yeah, I know there's a lot going on in Florida, so hopefully we can get you here again soon.